Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. We are in Perek Tes of Sefer Melachim Aleph. This is the ninth Perek. It's a pretty short Perek. This is really essentially the consolidation. Now that Shlomo HaMelech is sort of returning to regular life after having created the Beis HaMikdash, after having fashioned his own home, this is what happens in response to this. So the first thing we're told is that Hashem actually responds to Shlomo's prayer. Remember, Shlomo HaMelech had an elaborate prayer, a description of what the Beis HaMikdash was, a historical precedent, and a blessing to Bnei Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he says very clearly and very, very articulately that what is going to happen here. And he says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shamati es tefilascha v'eschinascha. I listened to your prayer, and I made this house holy, the one that you built for me, which is an astonishing fact. Here you have a human being doing something for God, and God says, you know what? I'm going to find good in what you made, right? Even though it's finite. And I'm going to put my name there forever. I'm going to, my Einai V'libi Shom, my eyes and my heart, so to speak, are going to be there. And if you go in front of me, if you walk in my ways, and your children follow me, then you know what? I'm going to allow you and your children to be kings forever. As I said to David, you know, nobody, you're going to have longevity, you're going to have a legacy. However, imshov toshuvun atem uvaneichem me'acharai, if you decide not to follow me, and you're not going to keep my mitzvahs, which is, sounds like a similar framework in many sections in the Torah that we've heard, and you serve other gods and other powers, then you know what? I'm going to cut you, v'chrati es Yisrael me'al pnei adama shenasati lahem. I'm going to bring you to exile. And this house, this beautiful house, will become a parable, will become a saying of others. People will say, wow, this beautiful, lofty house, what happened to it? Why is it destroyed? Why is it in such a way? And people will respond, well, because they didn't trust in God. They left Hashem, and Hashem abandoned them too. In this description, this is the end of Hashem's response. The Malbim says it's not that the Mikdash is going to be destroyed necessarily, like meaning to say as a punishment, but simply Hashem will remove his presence from there, and then you know what? Nature will take its course. And not every kingdom, in fact, all kingdoms do not have longevity. There's no one single kingdom which has remained in power for all of history. And so when Hashem removes his power, his presence from this house, then history will take its course. And a house devoid of divine power will find its end. That's what's going to end up happening. If you empty me from this house, I will leave it. After this, the next section from Sukkim Aleph to Yud to Yud Gimel describe an interaction that that Shlomo pays up Hiram. Remember, Hiram has spent 20 years making both the Beis HaMikdash and Shlomo's house, because it's 7 years for the Beis HaMikdash, 13 years for Shlomo's house. So in response to this, Hiram, the king of Tzor, sent all the these atzei arazim, these cedar wood, and atzei barosim to barosim and the gold. So Shlomo, in response diplomatically, responded by giving him 20 cities in the north of Israel. But interestingly enough, Hiram was not so pleased with this. But lo yashru be'enov, he did not like it, and he says, "V'ma ha'arim ha'eli asher nasat oliyachi? What are these cities you gave to me?" Doesn't seem so happy with this. It is interesting that if you read the Direi HaYamim parallel to this story, you'll see that Shlomo gave him 20 cities and he gave Shlomo 20 cities. It seems like a diplomatic exchange between these two cities, and he wasn't happy with his side, as the Radak points out. Why was he upset? So the Malbim says, well, because the cities that he got weren't fruitful cities. They weren't terrain which was farmable. It wasn't agricultural land, and that's why he calls them at this end of the section, he calls it Eretz Kavul. Eretz Kavul means a land which is not fruitful, and it's sort of a arid territory. That's what's happening over here. In the meantime, Hiram does send an extra 120 kikar kesef of these gold talents to Shlomo. There's great diplomatic relations in the north. Hiram is up in the north in Tyre. And then it talks about the how Shlomo HaMelech continued his taxes to build extra things in Yerushalayim, like this base, the Milo, which is a sort of gathering place near the wall for people, and Chatzor and Megiddo and Gezer. There are all these other places that Shlomo continues to tax to create. The infrastructure is going up. In fact, in the south, Paro, who is, of course, an ally at this point in time, it captures a city called Gezer, which ostensibly is a Philistine city, and burns it to the ground. It's a Canaanite city, I apologize. And gives it to Shlomo as a gift. And Shlomo cultivates the area of Gezer, and we have this sort of diplomatic relations in the south with Egypt, and in the north with Tyre. Everything seems to be in a safe place. And it describes how what happened was that all the people of the seven nations, the Amori, the Chiti, the Perizzi, the Chivi, the Vusi, which did not leave yet, anybody who had not been killed or sent out is now put under severe taxation from Shlomo HaMelech, as Shlomo is in charge now of this area. The next thing we hear in the Perek is really the end of this Perek is the consolidation about Shlomo HaMelech's prefects and their positions over which people. And interestingly, in the middle of this section, we're told that the Bas Paro, remember that's Shlomo HaMelech's wife, along with whom she received the dowry of Gezer. Remember that city that Paro conquered was as part of what the wedding gift to Shlomo. So she leaves the house. And he makes her own house, interestingly enough. Why is he making her own house? The Malbim says that he wasn't comfortable with her living in the house of David HaMelech. So he made her, even though she was his wife, he made her own house. And the way he sold it to her, he built it as a way that it's a good idea for you, there's more space for you, it's a more beautiful place. But ultimately, the Malbim says deep down, he just wasn't comfortable with her being in the house of David, his father, which is already suggesting a hairline fracture in the king here. It was clearly a diplomatic marriage. He was doing it for peace with the south, but at the same time, he is not prepared to go that far. He wants to sort of keep her at an arm's distance. We're going to see that to some degree she's going to be part of his downfall later on. And in the last part of this parak is actually describing how Shlomo HaMelech now sends his nation to the sea to collect gold. So meaning to say, Shlomo HaMelech is not simply expanding on the north, expanding on the south, and got a strong taxation in the central area of Israel. He's actually moving his people out into the sea to areas to which the Tanakh describes as Ophira, which is where he collects gold, and he brings out a colossal sum of gold back to the land of Israel. This perek, you know, in wrapping up, seems to be a perek of consolidation, where Shlomo Melech's power is now being centralized, his peace with his border has been centralized. The question is, what is he going to do next? In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.